Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun Ches. We left off on the bottom line of daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We're still in the sugya that we started yesterday, where you have something that's ikaro aser, something that you plant in the ground, let's say that's aser, and then it grows, and the things that grow are growing beheter. Do we assume that rabu hagidul in al ikaro, that the things that are growing beheter outnumber the root was aser, and therefore will be mevatal yisa, that everything is going to become mutter? Do we assume no? Do we assume that that which grows from an iser itself retains a status of iser? So yesterday we had two rayos. Now today's daf we're going to have three more rayos. First, we're going to bring a raya from gidulei shvius, where the gidulim are not nimshach achar ikaron, that we don't say that since they grew from something aser that it remains aser. And then we're going to have a raya from an onion of shmita that grew leaves mikoach yenikas hakarka during the eighth year. Grew leaves beheter during the eighth year, where we assume that the gidulin are not nimshach after the ikur. So again, it's going to be both of those rayas are going to be that the gidulin are not nimshach after the ikur. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to deal with a raya that gidulei heter also are not nimshach after the root of iser from a case of shemitah vegetables that grow during the eighth year. So we're going to discuss, and the Gemara is going to have three rejections of that raya, but the Gemara is going to reject all of the rejections. So that raya is going to seem to stand, and therefore at the end of the daf, we're going to try to connect it back to the shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonah's son that we learned yesterday. And we're going to try to see if it's necessarily a contradiction between our conclusion in today's daf and the shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonah's son that we learned yesterday, that assume that there is going to be an iser, that everything is nimshach after the iser, and it remains Aser. So let us begin with raya number three, bottom line of daf nun zayin amud beis. Elamin hadad detanya. We could bring a raya from the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol davar sheyesh lamatirin, anything that ultimately will one day become mutter, kigon tevel umayser sheni vehagdish vechadash lo nosnu ben chachamim shir. Like, for example, tevel or mayser sheni or hagdish or chadash, where one day all of these things become mutter, so the chachamim don't give any shir for bittul of these items, even if there's any sort of taroves b'minon, where they get mixed with something of a like kind, they're aser b'kol shehu, and shalob b'minon would still be benosin tam, the Ran points out, because whenever you have the taroves min b'sheino minon, as long as you can't detect the taste of the iser, the whole thing becomes mutter. But b'minan, it would be aser b'kol shu, there is no shear of bittul for these items of that are yesh lamatirin. But v'kol davar she'en lamatirin, but anything that will never become mutter, that remains in its status of iser and is never going to change, kigon truma utrumas meiser v'chala v'arla v'kilei akerem, like truma that goes to a kohen and has kedushas truma and you can't undo it, it's always going to stay that way. And Trumas Meiser, which also the Levi takes and gives to the Kohen, which is always going to be that way. V'chala, or chala that your mafresh you give to the Kohen, that you can't undo and is always going to be this way. So the Ran points out all three of those examples you can undo. You could be shoel on something that has a status of Truma, or Trumas Meiser, or chala. So it's possible to undo it. Why do we call it a davar she'ein lo matirin? Something that can never become mutter? So the Ran writes, the Alfa Gav de Mat since there's no mitzvah to be shoel on its status, and in the normal circumstances one is not shoel on the status of truma, it retains its status of truma forever, therefore it's considered davar she'ein lo matirin. And then the rest of the examples are truly ein lo matirin in the sense that there's no way to ever be matir them. Va'arla, grow the fruits that grow in the first 3 years after planting a tree, they're aser ba'ana, and there's no way of being matir that iser. V'kilei akerem, or kilei akerem, when grains grow right near grapes, where it's aser ba'ana, and there's no way of being matir those isurim. So those isurim are ironclad, and they're going to remain forever. Then nasnu ben chacham shir. Then the chacham gave a shir for the bittul of these items, that even if they get mixed in with a min b'mino, with something that's the same min, they become batal. Min b'sheinu mino, everything becomes batal. batal b'shishim. But min b'mino, truman, shomus meisr, and chala are batal b'meya, erla and kilei kerem are batal b'masayim, are batal in 200 times their amount, and but b'shein l'minon, everything is batal b'shishim, the Ran writes. So the rule essentially is, the rule generally is, that whenever you have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's never going to be batal, it's always going to be asir. Whenever you have a davar she'ein lo matirin, that's when the normal laws of bittul apply. So we've discussed already in the past, about a week ago, with the machlokas rishonim, why it is that a davar she'ein lo matirin is not going to be batal. Rashi writes in Maseches Beitza and Daf Gimel Amud Beis that since there's going to be a heter la'achar zman, the chamur machmir ad she'ochlinu be'iser yochlinu be'heter. Why would you rely on bittul and eat it be'iser now? You might as well just wait till it becomes mutter and eat it be'heter. So it was a chumrah of the chachamim that we shouldn't rely on bittul, because there's an easier way, there's a better way where you don't even have to rely on bittul. But then we had that famous Ran, the Ran and Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where the Ran explains that we find a machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda by any tarovas of iser beheter that's min bimino, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that min bimino is never batal. And the Gemara in Maseches Menachos explains that the source is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Tazayin, v'lokach midam apar umidam asayir, that you have the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat mixed together, even though there's way more blood in a bull than there is in a goat, and they're mixed together, still we call it the dam asayir. We don't assume that the blood of the goat is batal, we still refer to it as the dam asayir, as if it were still an independent entity. So you see that min b'mino is not batal. Why is it not batal? Because whenever two items have different characteristics from each other, different qualities from each other, and one far outnumbers the other one, it's mevatel the other one, because you lose all the character of the minority. The minority is no longer detectable, it loses all of its qualities. But whenever you have two like items that get mixed together, so you have a little drop of chicken soup that falls into a big vat of chicken soup, you don't lose the flavor of chicken soup. Every little bit that you add adds more flavor to it and enhances each other. And the Chum disagree, and they say that Dama Sayer is not batal because it's also kashal Zrika like Dama Par. But two things, that one of them is Asra and the other one is Heter, we don't look at what they are, we look at the status of Isra and Heter that they have. And therefore, Isra that's Masariv Beheter is batal Barov. But Dover Sheish Lamatirim, even according to the Chachamim, that we don't look at its physical qualities, we look at its halachic qualities, that you have Isra and Heter, that the Heter is going to overwhelm the Isra. But by Dover Sheish Lamatirim, if even the Isra has certain qualities of Heter, the Isra itself will one day become Mutter, so it has certain qualities of Heter, so then we're going to say that it's not going to be able to become Batel, because it is not overwhelmed by the Isra. That is the famous Shitas Haran that we saw in Daf Nun Beis. Now Rishonim right over here that Tevel is Yeshul Matirin, because you're able to be Mafresh Trumos HaMaisos Mimakom Acher, and therefore be Mesakein the Isra of Tevel. But you're not allowed to be, if you have a Tarovis of Tevel that gets mixed in with regular Chulin, with non-Tevel, you're not able to be Mafresh from the Tarovis itself Minei Ubei, because we're afraid you're going to take out Chulin fruits which already had Trumos HaMaisos taken from them, and therefore you're being mafresh mina patr al chayiv, and that doesn't work. It's eno klum, it doesn't help to be mafresh mina patr al chayiv. Rishonim also point out that you can't be mafresh on the tevel that's mixed with chulin from the tevel gomer that's chayiv chumas maisos midaraisa. Meaning, if you have two piles, one that's absolutely tevel, 100% pure tevel, and the other one is tevel mixed with chulin, you can't take from the tevel mixed with chulin pile and say I'm going to take chumas maisos from this pile to cover the other pile. What you have to do is, in order to be mafresh for the tarovis of tevel and chulin, you have to take from demai or from natzat sheinu nakuv. You have to take from something else that's tevel midrabanan, and because that's the only way. Meaning, what we're suggesting over here is that since tevel is davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's not batel. So it's not batel. So what do? You have to take shumas maisos, but you can't take shumas maisos from it. The Rishonim point out, because if you take shumas maisos from the tarovis, you might be taking from the chulin, and you can't take from the chulin. You can't take from somewhere else, because somewhere else is chayiv. So you can't take from tevel vaday, because tevel vaday is chayiv, and you can't take from a chayiv to cover something that's really in essence batal, and its essence really really. really pater. So you have to take from something that's only chayv mitrabanan. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch points out, that l'chora, that din is only works according to one of these shitos in the Rishonim, between the Rashi and the Ran. Chronim point out, Minchas Chinuch points out in mitzvah Resh Pei Dalet, that the reason that according to Rashi, that the reason Dover Sheish Matinu is not batal is because you might as well eat it beheter. So Chazal didn't want you to eat it al yidei bittul, if you could just eat it beheter without bittul. So why is Tevel considered Dover Sheish Matirin? Dover Sheish Matirin. It's Minatora, it's batal, and you're not allowed to be mafresh from Tevel Gomer, that's really Chayiv Minatora, to cover this taroves of Tevel and Chulin, because you can't be mafresh from a Chayiv al Potter. So you have to be mafresh from something that's only Chayiv Midrabanon, like an Atzitz Sheinu Nakov. When you're mafresh from an Atzitz Sheinu Nakov, it's not going to be Matir, any Isser Torah, because you're being mafresh from that which is only Chayiv Midrabanon on that which is Chayiv Minatora. So it's not going to be Misakin, the Tevel Minatora. So Al Karachach, you're eating the Isser Torah Al Yedei Bittel, meaning, in the end of the day, you're relying on Bittel anyway. You had Tevel, got mixed in with Chulin, so if you're not relying on Bittel and you're going to say it's Aser, well, why does it help then to be mafresh from Natzat Sheinu Nakov, from that which is only Chayiv Midrabanan? That which is Chayiv Midrabanan is not going to help for that which is Chayiv Minatora. So Al Karachach, you're relying on Bittel on a Daraisa level, and you're saying that the Tarovis is going to be Aser Midrabanan, so you're being mafresh from something else that's Aser Midrabanan. But if you're relying on Bittel anyway, then the whole Svara of Dover Sheish L'Matirin falls away, according to Rashi. The whole Svara of Dover Sheish L'Matirin is, why bother relying on Bittel? Just wait till it becomes Heter. But over here, you're relying on Bittel even with the Chumrah of Dover Sheish L'Matirin. But the Minchas Chinuch writes that, according to the Ran, that the reason Dover Sheish L'Matirin is not Batel is because it's Karov Leos Heter. It has certain characteristics of Heter. So then, so it's like a Min Bimino. So you could say that before it gets mixed in, it's Yesh L'Matirin, and therefore it has a shame heter, and it's not going to be batal, even though right now it's now become Ein Lo Matirin. Now that it's in a Taroves, there's no way to actually be mafresh. Since originally it was Yesh L'Matirin, that's enough to label it as something that has characteristics of heter, and to follow all the normal rules of Davish Yesh L'Matirin. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch points out, that this halacha seems to fit much, much better with the Shitas Haran than it does with Shitas Rashi. There's a funny kasha that some of the Achronim ask, that if really we're going to say any Dover Sheish L'Matirin is never going to become batel, how can it be that the Sefer Mar Ahalos raises the question in the Panini Alecha section of the Masifta over here? He quotes from the Sefer Mar Ahalos and the Sefer Or Yukaros, that why is it that Basur Chazer is batel b'shishim? Halach is v'l chazer meat falls into your challenge, it's batel b'shishim. After all, it's quoted in Svarim that in the name of a Medrash, that Las Lavo, the chazer is going to become mutter. So if Las Lavo, the chazer is going to become mutter, isn't it a Dover Sheish L'Matirin, and therefore it should never be batel? So that's the kasha they ask. So the most fundamental answer is, find the Medrash. Where does it say that the Basur Chaz is going to be mutter? It's quoted in a lot of Sfarim, but it's not so clear where exactly the source is that a Basur Chaz is going to be mutter. So these Sfarim suggest that La'asalavo be'emes, the Chazer is going to be mutter, but it doesn't mean that the Chazerim that we have are going to be mutter. It means that the Chazer is going to be malagera. That right now the Chazer, the way its Metzius is, it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. So La'asalavo, the Chazer is going to start chewing its cud, and mail it's going to be mutter. But whatever chazer meat we have now is still going to be not kosher. It's still going to be from Behemah Tameah, so it's not going to be mutter. That's how they suggest. In the Radvaz writes that basar chazer is not going to be mutter chas v'shalom. He says that it means that Klal Yisrael is going to eat mishmenim. We're going to have so much food to eat. It's going to feel like we're not missing anything. It's going to feel like I just did a Kiruv program last week with some kids in camp, and we were talking to these teenagers who aren't so religious, and we asked them, what's the most challenging thing you find about Judaism? They said, kosher, for sure. That it's just such a change. You're driving down the turnpike or something, and you want to go to a rest stop and grab some lunch, and you can't go to the McDonald's because it's not kosher. So that's what it means, says Red Vaz. It doesn't mean Basur Chazer is going to be mutter. It means that Basur Chazer is going to feel like it's mutter. It's going to feel like there's no sacrifice whatsoever in kashrus, that it's all going to, that we can eat anything and everything. That's how much we're going to have. The Ravaz also writes al derech hasod, that maybe this medrash, this mystery medrash, says that lemala there is some sort of sar, there's some sort of malach called a chazriel, and it's a kategor on klal Yisrael, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be machziro as a sanegor on klal Yisrael. He's going to come to be a defending angel for klal Yisrael, not to be a kategor on klal Yisrael. That's what it means. Chazir is going to be mutter. It's speaking b'derech melitza, but not that the actual chazir is going to be mutter. But many other svarim just point out that even though everyone always says that loss of love of the chazir is going to be mutter, we don't actually find any such medrash. There is no medrash chazal that actually says that a chazir is going to be mutter. And the final answer in the Tshuvas Leiv Chaim, he writes that the when we say that it's basar chazir is going to be mutter, we're talking about b'shas melchama. That in the Melchamas Gog and Magog, B'shas Melchamah, the time that Klal Yisrael is Nichnas Eretz Yisrael, the Basar Chazir is going to be found in the Batei Kananim, is going to be Mutter because all bets are off, B'shas Melchamah. Okay, so that's a little bit of a funny kasha of why it is that a Chazir is not a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. But obviously, it's not a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. We don't say such a. But what is a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? One of the examples we give over here is Chadash. That Chadash is Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So why is it a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? Because after the second day of Pesach, the Chadash becomes mutter. In Maseches Menachos, Daf Samech Ches, the Gemara quotes that the Amoraim hold the Chadash Bizman Hazeh is Rabbanan. So if a person eats Chadash on the 17th day of Nisan, the Chutz La'aretz, and he wasn't Choshesh for the Safek Kviyas HaChadash, then maybe it's really the 16th day of Nisan, because Safek Rabbanan LaHakel, that's okay. They don't have to be Choshesh, you can rely on Safek Rabbanan LaHakel. So the Rishonim all ask, wait a second, Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin has a couple of dinim. One din of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is not Batel. Another din of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is we don't rely on Safek Rabbanan L'Kula for a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So Chadash is labeled a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, and therefore our Gemara says it can never become Batal. Yet the Gemara says explicitly in Menachos that if you have a Sveika de Yoma, whether the Chadash has become Mutter or not, we rely on Safek Rabbanan L'Kula. Why would we rely on Safek Rabbanan L'Kula, a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, or Machmir even mit Rabbanan, even on a Drabbanan? So that's the Kasha that the Mordechai asks, and the Mordechai answers that since Bizman Hazeh were not Bekiyin, Bekviyas HaChodesh, they were Mekel L'Inyin Chodesh if it's only Midrabanan. The Chodesh itself is only a Din Midrabanan, so they were Mekel. Others say that no, the Chodesh is not considered a real Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. The Chidush Ha'an Sheshem on the Mordechai over there writes, Chodesh is not a real Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin because it's going to go back to be Aser the next year. Every year, Chodesh becomes Aser again. So it's not called the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So all the Achronim point out that that's a very strange line. What does that mean? That it's going to be Asr again. This year's Chadash is never going to be Asr again. Next year's new grain, whatever grows next year is going to be Asr again till the second day of Pesach. Then that will become it's not like Chametz. Chametz, we say, you could say, is not called the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin because next Pesach it will become Asr again. Because whatever Chametz I have, if I have a bottle of schnapps now, so right now it's Mutter, it's going to be Asr on Pesach, Mutter after, and Asr, leaving aside Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach, and then Asr the following Pesach. That same bottle of schnapps. By Chadash, you don't have such a thing. Once this year's grain becomes mutter on the second day of Pesach, it becomes mutter forever. So that's a very strange thing. Why it says that the Chiddush Ha'an Sheshem has such a comment that Chadash is called as going to be something that's going to become usher again and therefore not Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Pashas, like our Gemara says, that Chadash really is a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Why are we quoting all of this stuff about Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? So it's for the Hemsheikh of the conversation. We haven't really gotten to the point yet. So Amru Lo, the Chacham said back in the Gemara, the Chacham said, "Velo Shvius Ein Lo Matirin, Velo Nasnu Ba Chacham Shir." You want to tell me that any time you have a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, it's never batal, no matter how much you have, and any time you have a Davar Sheein Lo Matirin, it's going to be batal in some sort of number, that there's some sort of shear of bittul. What about Shemitah? Produce of Shemitah is Ein L'Matirin. Once it has Kedusha Shvius, it always has Kedusha Shvius. You can't undo the Kedusha Shvius. So it's Ein L'Matirin, therefore it should be Batal. But we don't find that there's any Shir Bittul for Shemitah. Yeah, for Erla, for Truma, for Kilei HaKerem, there's Shir Bittul, whether it's Meya, Masayim, there's some sort of Shir Bittul. But we don't find the Shir Bittul for Shvius. Ditnan, HaShvius Oseris Kol Shu B'mina. Shemitah produce is going to Aser B'mina B'kol. kolshu, no matter how minute an amount of Shemitah produce you have, mixed into a large tairoves of that which doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, the whole tairoves is asr. The whole thing is considered to have Kedusha Shvius. So how could that be? It's a davar she'ein lo matirin. Amlehen afani lo amarti elu lebiur. Avlachila b'nosin tam. He says, no, this din that Shemitah doesn't have any bittul is only when it comes to the mitzvah of biur. Meaning, if it's not yet the shas habiur, so we say that that you should eat it now instead of waiting for the shas habiur, where it's then going to be a problem. Because vis-a-vis the shas habiur, it's a davar she'esh lo matirin. The halacha is that you're allowed to eat Shemitah produce until the shas habiur, until it's no longer available out in the fields. Once it's no longer available out in the fields, now you're not allowed to eat it anymore. So for that, it's considered davar she'esh lo matirin. If shas habiur hasn't come, eat it now. It's mutter now. So you might. So if you have a little bit of Shemitah that gets mixed in with something else, so it is a davar she'esh lo matirin. It is a davar she'esh lo matirin. So you should eat it right now. Meaning it's Rashi svar of davar she'esh lo matirin. So eat it right now, and you'll be eating it better, and you won't have any problem. So that's what we mean that it's not batal. But once you want to eat it after the shas habir, then in a chinami it's shuv ein lo matirin. Once the shas habir has come, it has kedusha shvius, and there's no way to eat it. So then it's going to, when it's in the taroves, it's going to have the regular status of a davar she'ein lo matirin, where it will become batal b'nosin tam. It will become batal b'shishim. What exactly is this shas? Actually, before we get to what this shas habir is, so what's the Gemara's raya over here? What's the Gemara trying to prove over here? Because we're talking about bittul of Shemitah produce. So when we talk about, you see from here that the Mishnah in Shvius asks kol shehu b'mina, that when you have a mixture of Shemitah produce with something else, it's asr b'kol shehu. And we're talking about a taroves. How do you have a taroves of Shemitah produce? Well, that could happen in one of two ways. One way, the normal way, is peros of Shemitah get mixed in with peros of Heter. That way doesn't prove anything for our Gemara. What we're trying to talk about is if you have an ikar of Isser that grows, that you plant in the ground, and it grows Heter, do we assume that the Heter is Nimshach achar the Isser? That's what we really want to figure out. So that's one of the ways that Tarovus could happen. You could have Gidule Shvius that's Nisarev b'ikar shel Heter. That you have that which were the root that you planted in the ground was heter, was not Shemitah produce, but it grows more. You take an onion that grew in the sixth year, you plant it in the ground in the seventh year, and it grows more during the seventh year. So the whole onion is going to be considered to be aser, because of the tarovus iser shviya shabo. So you see that the ikar is nimshach achar the. I'm sorry, we say if we were to say it was nimshach achar the whole onion is going to be iser. Is going to be aser because that which grew in the seventh year is all aser. So you see that the ikar is nimshachachar the gidulim, that the ikar was heter, and the ikar is nimshachachar the gidulim grew during Shemitah. So therefore we should go back to the suffix of Rabbi Shmuel and Nun Zainam Beis that we started to deal with, where in Rabbi Shmuel Ishkfar Yama asked the question where the situation was the opposite, where you have an onion of Shemitah that you planted during the eighth year. So we should say that the ikar is nimshachachar the gidulin, and therefore it should all be mutter because it goes out after the gidulin. That's the raya the Gemara is bringing. So it's a little bit of an indirect raya, because the raya is from a case of tarovis. We normally think of tarovis, you think of, you take an item of Shemitah and it gets mixed in with other things. But we're saying no, the tarovis we're talking about over here is where you took something that was Shemitah, you planted it, you took something from the sixth year, you planted it in the ground during Shemitah, and it grew during Shemitah, and we see that we look at the leaves that grew and whatever grew during Shemitah, and we say that the ikar is nimshach achar the gidulin. So mele, the same is going to be true when you're dealing with something that was Shemitah and you planted it, that was Shemitah produce that you planted in the ground in the eighth year, where we say that the ikar is nimshach achar the gidulin. So that's the Gemara's raya. So the Gemara answers the raya, v'dilma hanami l'chum rashayni. How could you bring that as a raya? Well, our case is talking about where you take produce from the sixth year and you plant it in the seventh year. So whatever grows in the seventh year is going to be Shemitah. So we're going to say, yeah, l'chumra, we're going to say that the that hakol nimshach achar gidulin, that everything goes by what's growing now. But Rabbi Shmuel's original shayla wasn't that case. Rabbi Shmuel's original shayla was you take a produce, you take an onion from the seventh year and you plant it in the eighth year. So then to say Akol Nimshach Achra Gidulin would be Lakula, would say that it's all eighth year produce. We're not willing to say necessarily Lakula that Akol Nimshach Achra Gidulin. Maybe we're only willing to say Lachumra that everything is Nimshach Achra the Gidulin. That's so it's not going to be a raya to actually answer Rabbi Shmuel's question. Now we already rejected one of the rayas by saying Dilma Lachumra Shaini. So the Ran deals with over here why the Gemara had a Havamina that this would be a good raya, considering we already said Dilma L'chumra Shaini. The Ran points out that over here it's a qualitatively different kind of chumra. It's a double chumra over here. We'll leave out the details for right now. Just important to note, we spoke about the mitzvahs biur over here. That up until the time of biur, we say that you're not going to rely on any sort of bittul. You should eat the produce, whatever tarovis you have of shemitah produce, eat it right now, because before the biur you're allowed to eat shemitah produce. What is this din of biur? Where does it come from? So the Torah says, and the Gemara darshins in Maseches Pesachim, the Medrash darshins in the Torah Kohanim, im nemer chaya lama nemer behema. If it says chaya, why does it have to say behema? That all your grain should be for your chaya and your behema. So if your chaya is allowed to eat the produce, certainly behema, which is berushusa, that you own, should for sure be allowed to eat it. So what we're trying to say is, says the Gemara, calls man shechaya ochelas min asada ha'achal behemtucha min abayis, that the halacha of the Shemitah produce is that as long as it's available to the chayos, to the wild animals that roam out in the fields, then you're still allowed to use it to feed to your animals, your domesticated animals, the animals that you have, that you own, and that you're responsible for in your house. But kala l'chaya min asada kalelu behemtucha min abayis. But once it's no longer available to the chayos out in the field, then it should be no longer available to the behemos in your house either, and you're chayev to be mevar. According to Rov Rishonim, this is a mitzvah min haTorah that we're dashing from a pasuk, a mitzvah called biur. Kalel behemtucha min habayis. That once it's no longer available to the chayos in the field, you have a mitzvah to be mevar. However, the Ramban al haTorah is not sure about this, and he thinks that maybe this whole mitzvah's biur is only a din mitarabanan, and the whole pasuk is only an asmachta. The Ramban al haTorah on the spot is not certain about this issue, whether it's really a mitzvah d'oraisa. There's also a major machlokas Rishonim. How does one do this mitzvah's biur? What exactly is the mitzvah's biur? The Rambam writes in the 7th parak of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel that when it's no longer available in the field, you should take all the peros that you have in your house and divide it evenly between all of your neighbors and your krovim. Everyone should get 3 meals worth of produce, and you leave for yourself only 3 meals of produce for each member of your family. And if you had more fruits than that, all the peros that are left after this amount of beer, you have to actually destroy them by burning them, like physically destroying them or throwing them into the Yam HaMelech. So the Rambam understands the mitzvah's beer is 2 things. Divide it evenly amongst everyone you know, and if you have leftovers, then do what's actually called what we would associate with the word biur. Then you actually destroy it. The Ravid over there in the Sasagas on the Rambam says, no, there are 2 stages of biur. The first stage is, there are 2 zmanim of biur, is that when it's no longer available in the city and in the tchum of your city, but it's not totally gone from the land, so where you bring these peros to notes or bezdin, and the bezdin will divide it evenly amongst all the people in the town. But once it's, that's stage one. Stage two is, once it's completely gone from the land entirely, then we have to be mevayir legamri min ha'olam. Then we actually have to completely destroy it. Chaznish points out in Shvius, in the Sefer on Shvius, that we see that according to the Ravid, there are 2 mitzvahs of beer. They're really from 2 different psukim. There's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, v'ashvius tishmatenu natashta v'achlu avyonei amcha, that it says that the avyonei amcha should eat it. So that's 1 mitzvah of biur, is to bring it to the basin and let the basin divide it up and give it to whoever. But then in Parshas Bahar it says, ulvehemtucha ulchaya. That's the halacha of once it's no longer available anywhere, even to the chayos, way out in the field somewhere, that you completely destroy it. You're no longer giving it to avyonei amcha. The Rov Rishonim, however, understand the mitzvah of biur differently. The Ramban, Tosos and Maseches Pesachim, they understand that the peros don't become aser bizman abir to eat at all. The biur doesn't mean to destroy. Bir means to be mafkir. This is what we paskin, I think. This is what we do. Where if you have peros left over from after this man of beer, remember that one year when the shul had in the shalach manos the wine that had kedusha shviyas. So we asked Rabbi Willig what to do, and this is what he said to do. It's just to be mafkirit, like the Ramban says. Put it out and be mafkirit, and if no one takes it, then you could be zelchem in a hefker. But not to just destroy the food needlessly. There's no reason to go around destroying anything. But that's the other possibility of what biur means. Not to physically destroy it, but to be mafkir mirushuso, to be mevar mirushuso. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Fourth raya on this issue, do we assume the gidulim are nimshach achar ikaro, or that the ikar is nimshach achar gidulim? Elamin hada pashta. So rather, let's be poshit, let's answer from the following source. Ditnan, we have a mission that says as follows, Bitselim shiyardu aleim gesham v'tzamchu. Let's say you have onions that grew in the sixth year, that you replant in the ground during the seventh year, and then it rains on them, and more leaves grow after the rain. But you're not sure, why did those leaves grow? Did they grow because of the yanika menakarka? Because of the land that's been nourishing this growth? In which case, this is seventh year growth, this is Shemitah growth. Or did it grow meyatzmo? Did it grow on its own because of the onion that was there, and the onion was a sixth year onion? Simhayu alin shalen shcharin asurin. The assumption is that if the leaves have a dark tinge to them, they're black, they look blackish, then they are aser. Hariku mutarin, but if they have a lighter green tint to them, then we assume that they're mutter, that they were not yonik directly from the ground. As the Ran points out, shekivin shem yorokim lav machas miyinikas hakarka niskad lel machmas abatzel atzmo. Now, since it has a greenish color, that's a simen to tell that it didn't really come. The growth there is not attributable to the ground, rather it's to the onion itself. Rabbi Chanin ben Atiganus Omer, im yichol nitzlash ba'olin shalan asurin, he has a different way of being able to tell. He says if when you grab the leaves, you could pull the whole thing out of the ground, the leaves are so strongly connected to the onion itself, then it's asur, then you knew that those leaves are yonik from the ground. But otherwise, then it's not yonik from the ground. Ukenegdon the motzai shviyas mutarin. If the case were the opposite, where you took a Shemitah onion and you plant it in the ground during the eighth year, you could do the same test to see whether it has a din from the being yonik from the karka, except in that case, if it had a din of being yonik from the karka, it would all be mutter, because that would mean that it's eighth year produce and not seventh year produce. The memra de gudule heter malin asa iser. But what do you see over here? That if the gidulim are heter, based on this last case where you took seventh year onion and you planted it in the ground in the eighth year, and we said that as long as you know that those leaves that are growing now are attributable to the eighth year, to the ground itself during the eighth year, so then it's fine, then it's mutter. So you see, it's not nimshach achar ikaro, that you look at the gidulim themselves and you don't say that since it grew out of something that was usser, it's always going to be usser. So that should be poshet Rabbi Shmuel's question. And over here you see lakula. Not Luchumra, that Lakula were willing to say it. So Gemara says, Vidilma b'medud chadin. Maybe we're talking about a case where you chopped up the original onion and you pulverized it before you planted it, so it's zaro kala. You don't have something that's in zaro kala, and therefore the whole suffix is not going to, the whole case is not going to relate to Rabbi Shmuel's suffix at all. So rather we move on to the fifth raya. Elamin adad detanya. The raya is from the following braisa. Bryson discusses Haminachesh imakuti. If you are weeding together with a kuti, meaning a kuti has a field of produce in Eretz Yisrael, b'chasios, he has some type of vegetable, and you're helping pull out some extra leaves from the field. Tosus writes that l'chora, for the halacha we're about to say, it doesn't really matter if you're being menachesh or not. I mean, we're trying to figure out what the status is of these fruits. With the fact that you're being menachesh doesn't affect the status of the fruits a single bit. It's just minastam, a Jew would not be ochel mishal kuti unless he's doing malacha with him. Why would a Jew be eating a kuti's produce? So it must be that he's helping do malacha, because generally speaking, we assume that the Jews are muvdalim min akutim. We do whatever we can to stay away from the kutim, and that's, we don't party with them and eat with them and enjoy with them. So it must be, that's why the Brice says, the Baal Yatos point out, that you're menachishimo v'shvil parnasaso, that if it's your living, so to make a living, you're working for the kuti. So that's where it could happen, that it ends up that the Jew will be ochel imo, that the Jew will end up eating with the kuti. That's what the Tosfos points out. There's a question. The Rush writes that you eat with him. The reason you're eating from his stuff is like a poel that is ochel b'mlachto that you do for the balabais. That when a poel is working, he's allowed to eat from the produce that he's working with. The Rashash just wonders. That's a strange application over here. You're being menachesh while it's still it's still growing in the ground. The Gemara b'Metzia says that a poel can only eat from that which he's working with when it's the gemar malacha, when the produce is finished. You can't just rip up his whole field before anything is, rip up whatever you want from his field while it's still growing. It's only at the gemar malacha that we have such a din of a poel. A menachesh is not allowed to eat from the poel. Not allowed to eat at all. So that's difficult to understand what the Rush is talking about. But whatever the case is, it's totally a side point, because we're really just trying to figure out is the status of the produce over here. That's very little to do with whether you're a worker or not a worker. But a menachi shema kuti. So a person is pulling up the weeds together with a kuti, the chasios, with a certain type of a vegetable that are not zarokala, that are growing in the field of the kuti, and as he's allowed to, part of his schar, part of his wages, is he's allowed to eat. So before it ever becomes tevel, the ochel me'an achilas arai, he's allowed to eat from an achilas arai, meaning produce only becomes tevel once it becomes chayv in shumas ma'isros, once you already pull it out of the ground and pile it up and smooth out the pile, so then it becomes tevel. But before something actually becomes tevel, you're allowed to have an achilas arai from it, uma asron vadai, and anyone who buys those chasios from the kuti would have to take Trumas and Maisos like it's absolute tevel, that you know for sure the kuti didn't take Trumas and Maisos from it himself. I mean, what's the chiddush that you're allowed to eat from it arai? The chiddush is that you don't have to worry that maybe the kuti took tevel seeds and planted them in the ground. That what's growing is growing from tevel seeds, where it would be asr ba'achilas arai, because once it's absolutely tevel, then it's asr ba'achilas arai, because the isser of eating the gidule tevel is only chumra midrabanan. So the chachamim weren't in this case of eating the gidule tevel. Reb Shimon Lazar says another din by these chasios. Im Yisrael chashad al hashvius, if the worker that's being menachesh is a Jew who's chashad on shmita and lemotzai shvius, and the worker works on motzai if the guy that you're working for is chashad al hashvius, it's not a kuti, it's a Jew who's chashad al hashvius, so then lemotzai shvius during the eighth year, even though minastam the gidulim that are coming from these chasios of shvius were our asr mishum svichim mutter, you're allowed to eat from these gidulim, because you could assume that they were rabu al ikr, that even though the ikr is something that was aser, but that which is growing is mutter. So the meimra the gidule heter malin as iser. So this is a raya that gidule heter are malin as iser, that we don't say the nimshach basri karo. And there's our raya. There's our fifth raya. So the Gemara is going to try three rejections of this raya. Rejection number one: vildim lo b'davar shezarokala. Maybe this is talking about something that the seed disintegrates in the ground, and therefore it's not nogea tar shaila at all. Says Gemara, hatani elin chasios gon aluf hashuma b'tzalim. No, chasios are like turnips and onions and things that we know are not zarokala. Okay, says Gemara, another rejection. Even if it's not zarokala, maybe like we said in Amun Aleph, it's the kind of thing where you crushed it up before you planted it in the ground, and therefore that makes it like zarokala. So chashal shvius katani. No, the guy that you're working for doesn't observe the laws of shvita. Why would he crush it up? He has no reason to do so. So if he's not worried about Shemitah. V'dilma b'taroves. But maybe the whole thing was b'taroves. It was a mixture that chasios asuros were mixed with other chasios of heter, and it was batal b'rov. So it says Gemara, hamenachish katani. No, you're eating it while you're still pulling it from the ground. So there is no taroves. Didn't have time to have a taroves. Still growing from the ground. So lema tavitivtud Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan. So wait a second. Now we've just proven then that the gidulim are not nimshach basari karo. But in yesterday, at the end of Nun Zayin and Beis, we had that both Rabbi Yochanan, who said about the Natiya of Arla, a Yalda Shesipcha B'Zekena, that the Gidulei Heter are not Mevatel the Isser, and Rabbi Yonasan, who said that by Kilei HaKerem, that an onion that you planted in a Kerem, even after you uproot the entire Kerem, the Gidulei Heter are not Mala the Isser, so that seems to be against this Raya. So says Maram Rabbi Yitzchak, Shan Yeshvi is holding Yisur El Deikarka B'Tei nami ali de karka. Shemitah is different because since the whole isser of Shemitah is born from the ground, the bittul of Shemitah can also come when it's in the ground. And therefore, if you plant the isser in the karka and gidulim come out of it, the isser turns into heter. The gidulim will turn into heter. So Shemitah is a different din than arla and kelei hakerem. Arla is not a function of the ground. Arla is a function of the zman. Kelei hakerem is not a function of the ground. It's a function of the taroves, of the mixture with another min. So, frakta gemara, hare meiser the isser de karka vein b'tei lasali de karka. Meiser the isser is from the ground, and the bittel doesn't come from the ground. The tanya litra meiser tevel shazara b'karka v'shbicha v'arei kasa litrin chayevs meiser b'shvius. If you plant a litra of meiser in the ground, and now 10 litrin grow out of it, it's chayev in meiser and shmita va'osu litra ma'aser l'makom akra l'fi cheshbon. And that litra, your ma'aser l'fi cheshbon from somewhere else, from that litra alone. So you see that this litra, even though the Yisr Tevel is al yedei the karka, it still remains usr even after it was planted in the ground. We don't assume that it was batel in the ground. So Amri, the Gemara answers, the Bnei Yeshiva answered, Meiser digun hu de kagarim lei. Meiser is not an Yisr that's created from the ground, it's an Yisr that's created by the digun, by the miruach hakri, where the chiyuv of Trumas Meiser sets in. It's only Shemitah that we say that the Yisr is actually created by the ground, and therefore the bittel comes from the ground. Okay, Bezalel Shalom, pick up on the top line tomorrow.